I came about a month ago sharing a topic with you. I wonder how many of you still remember what I shared. Any idea? No one remember. Forgetful. Okay. Last time I talked about the life. So I picked this song, This Life I Live. Think about our life. And today I'm going to talk about life as well. Last time I talked about the old life we have. And when we accepted Christ, we got a new life in Christ. And not only new life, we have a new corporate life, new body life. So we talk about relationship among brothers and sisters. We talk about, as we gathered here in Kellerville, how can we express this corporate life to glorify God, to satisfy God. But before this new life and corporate life, in between, there's a very significant step we have to make. In between, to start from new life and live out into a corporate life, a body life, there's a very important decision to make. This decision is, are we going to live a dedicated life? You know, you want to have success in anything, you must be dedicated to it. You want to be a swimmer, dedicate to swim. I know some Olympic swimmers, they may get up every morning, early morning, 5 or 6, swim for 5 or 6 hours each day. So that's why they got the medal. Dedicate lives brings you success because you are your whole life focused on something. If you don't focus on something, I'm sure you won't be very successful. No matter you study, no matter anything, you have to be dedicated. Find the joy. Find the greatness in this life. Okay, so have a quick look back what we have shared last time. What is the essence of the old life? Old life, if we studied Ephesians chapter 2, is all about me. No matter you enjoy, no matter what your focus is, no matter what you get on this world, it's all about me. So it's a self-centered life. You are angry with people, you hate people, or you are greedy. It's all about, I can have more. I don't like him. He insulted me. It's all about me. I want to be great. I want to be, every people like me. I want to be praised. So, our old life before we come to know Christ is all about, we are the center of this universe. We are the center of everything. But once we become sinner like that, we find ourselves in sin. But once we come to know Christ, we have a new life. And this new life is no longer focused about ourselves. New life, as we mentioned last time in the book of Galatians, chapter 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lived in me. It's all about him. It's all about serving God. No matter what you do, no, even when you study, it's no longer for yourself. It's no longer for your glory. It's about pleasing your master. Do it or not, it's for to please God. So this new life is God-centered life. I wonder how many of you have really experienced this new life. The joy of this new life is no longer for myself. Make your life purposeful by serving God, by knowing God. But hold on, it doesn't stop there. Last time we talked about not only God saved you, but God put you into a body. the body of Christ, which is the church. And this is a corporate life, not just about you. There are many brothers and sisters around you. And last time we looked at many Bible verses. It's talk about, basically, in this body life, it's about relationship. It's not about activities. So church life, I mentioned last time, is not about coming, doing something, listening to message, singing, and then go home. It's not about the activities, just like family life. It's not about sitting together, having food together, sleep in the same house. No. Family life is not about activities, what you do, but about relationship. So this body life is about relationship. New life is about relationship with God. But body life is about relationship with one another. Do you love the one next to you? Do you have fellowship with brothers and sisters? Do you care about one another? Do you bear with one another? I don't like that guy. I don't like him. Do you comfort one another? Do you have compassion with one another? All these words are coming from the Bible verses I quoted last time, so I'm not going to go through it again. But it's about ministering to one another. So it's not just a Sunday, 1 hour together. It's about your whole week, 24/7. When you're at home on Monday, maybe someone give you a call. Brother Paul, I need your prayer. I have a difficulty. So I pray for that brother. So it's about relationship. This relationship never stops. So you love that person not only on Sunday. You care about that person not only on during the meeting. You care about one another. And notice, this is a mutual relationship. You need to care, and you need others to care for you. If you have big struggle or problem, you need support. Find brothers and sisters. Talk to them. Let them share your burden. So this is a body life we need to make progress in this corporate life. And the beautiful of the testimony in here in Calvary rests very much on the relationship with one another. So may God help us, not just coming to the meeting, listening to the message and go home and next Sunday come again. No, this is not the testimony. We want to, if God called us here, called you here in Calvary, how are we going to treat one another? Do you ever talk, share, showing compassion, serving one another? So this is what we should have in here in Calvary. If we have that, God's glory can be manifested. God's will, God's work can be done in here. We can see the growth of the body in here. So bless everyone who gather here. This is our goal, to live a body life. But before we move from new life to body life, there is something very important. Just like I mentioned just now, we need to also live a dedicated life. Next step, how to start to live this body life? When I want to live this body life, there is a very important decision to make. What would that be? Now, if we look at the book of Romans, chapter 1 to chapter 8, I'm going to quickly go through Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11, and then I'll focus on chapter 12, the first few verses. But before we dwell on that Romans chapter 12, let's have a quick look at what Romans talk about. If you ask people, what is the book of Romans telling us about? People may say, oh, it talks about the righteousness of God. And in the first chapter, it mentioned about from creation, we know that there's a creator. But the Gentiles, because they don't give glory to God, they don't thank him. So the Gentiles are guilty. They rejected God. So Gentiles are in sin. But in chapter 2, are the Jews much better? God has given them holy word. But we realize in chapter 2, the Jews, even though they know God's word, but they do not keep God's words. So the conclusion is, so the Gentiles are sinners, the Jews are sinners. So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God's work is justify us. So in Romans chapter 3, 23 to 24, for all have sinned. So for chapter 1 and 2, talk about no matter it's Gentiles, no matter Jews, they all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Men are sinners. Hold on. What did God do? People right now in Christ being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what would God do about when God faces all the sinners? In Christ Jesus, there's a redemption. And we are now justified by his grace. When God says that you are justified, that means God says, now you are okay. You are all right. You are righteous. Righteousness is, say, God is telling us that now you are right. You are okay now. So justification, now because of the grace, because of the redemption of Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus paid the price, now God says you are okay. We are justified by faith. But after justification, what happens next? Can we go to, yes. In Romans, it then proceeds to say, therefore, having been justified by faith, now what happens to us? We have peace with God through Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Notice there are a few key words here. Once we are justified, how? By faith. What have we got now? Well, we have peace. And not only have peace, we have access by faith again into grace. So we have peace, we have grace, and rejoice in the hope. Now we also have hope. So grace, peace, hope. Now we can rejoice. Rejoice, the hope of what? The glory of God. So many keywords in one phrase. So the glory is waiting ahead of us. Not only, no, we are not stopping. Oh, I'm forgiven. That's good. We have enjoyed the peace. We can now enjoy the grace. We can enjoy the hope. We can rejoice because glory is in front of us. We have a bright future. So in Romans chapter 5, it tells us that. So I skip a lot and jump to chapter 6. Since we are justified, can we continue in sin? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So if God say, because of Christ, now you are okay. Does it mean, oh, I got a license. I got a permit to the heaven. Now I can live a life. Whatever, I can do whatever I like. I can live a sinful life. But I got a license. God has forgiven me. Can I do whatever I want? Not at all. So can we still continue in sin? No, certainly not. And after that, it moves on to talking about baptism. So there are, after baptism, that reminds us, baptism is we die to sin, but we live to God. So how about this life now? So in chapter 7 and chapter 8, it talks about sanctification. Sanctification is that our life is set apart. Sanctify means Some people say it's holiness or sanctify is that you separate in the past when some animal is going to be offered to God. This animal set apart, this is for God himself, sanctified. If there are 10 cups here, this one is for me. This cup is separated from the other 9. This is for me only. So once we come to know Christ, God separated this people for him. So we are sanctified. But not just a status. We have to live out the reality. How can we live out the reality of sanctification? Now, when we look at in Romans, it talks about we have the Holy Spirit in us. For if you live, now it talks about not our status, but how to live. The life we live, not according to the flesh anymore. If we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So Christians, congratulations. God's Spirit is in you. He is going to lead us day by day. So this sanctification becomes a reality. So not justified. God said, you are okay, I give you the Holy Spirit. So these people, their life changed. They changed to be more like God. Their life being led by the Spirit. So these people change. They are sanctified. But not stopping there. If you move to the Romans, the latter part, further down, the next part is in Romans 8:28-30. So not just sanctify, not just justify, sanctify, now glorify, glorification. As we go down, as we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we know all things work together. The difficulties you meet each day, the things all work together is for your good. Why? Because to those who are love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, God called us from sinners from this world. Hey, you come. And you come. God called us together for his purpose. And for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God called us and have a purpose on these people. And these people predestined, God has set his mind to be conformed to the image of his son. God wants us to bear, to be like Christ Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. So what is glory? Glory is it you put on a crown? Glory is it you put on some fashionable clothing? Glory is it because you drive a big car? Glory is it because you possess a big house? No. Glory is to become like him. What is glorification? Glorify, to be glorified is to become like Christ. Your nature. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Now, there are a few words you have to pay attention. He predestined. He set his mind. He chosen. These he also called. He called you. He saved you. Come. Come to follow me. And next step, step one is, he predestined before the creation of the world. And now, when we... For me, it's 1982. I was called to become a Christian. He called me. Okay, it's a long time ago. So, first step, second step, called. And whom he called, he also justified. Because I received Christ, he said, now you are okay. Now you don't have to go to hell.
He justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified.
So in God's heart, he's not just save us. He also wants us to become like him, his son. And this is glorification. This is chapter 8. So God has a whole plan, you see. It's in the book of Romans from chapter 1 to chapter 8. For an individual, we don't know him, we were sinners, and now he called us, chosen us, justified us, sanctified us, let us walk by the Spirit, and now we are approaching to glorification. And then from chapter 9 to chapter 11, Paul talked about Israelites. Has God forgotten them? Has God abandoned them? No, God has not forgotten them. One day God will call them. They will repent to return to the Lord. And they will one day again call on his name. So I skip 9 to 11 because of time. Now I jump to chapter 12. Dedicated life. Now, after chapter 8, if we move on, there seems to be inserted a part about Israelites from 9 to 11. But when he go on from that, for me, chapter 8 is the highlight. Stop there. That would be the highlight. But God continued to say. In chapter 12, it then moves on to about the behavioral part of the Christians. From chapter 1 to chapter 11 is about doctrinal, about doctrine. But talking about daily living, it starts from chapter 12 and moves on to the end. So from chapter 12 moves on, there seems to be a very critical moment. Just now I say to live a dedicated life, you have to make a very important decision. Yes, the Lord wants to transform us. The Lord God has a will that one day we will be glorified. We will be like Christ Jesus. But do you want to be? I have a plan. But would you say yes? God won't force us to take it. Do you agree? Just like a contract. God has something to do. God has plan. Would you come forward and say, yes, I'll do it. Yes, do it on me. I agree. So in Romans chapter 12, let's have a closer look. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, Paul beseech you there, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present. He begged us to respond. God has a big plan. But are you willing to be a part in it? Are you willing to join in this plan? So in here, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let's focus on the word present. This word, if you look at the Greek, sometimes this word can translate as stand by. Stand by. For an occasion like in Luke 1:19, it talks about Gabriel stand in the presence of God. So, present your body means you make yourself stand by, ready. Or in some other cases, the word used when Christ was nailed on the cross, there are a lot of people stand by around the cross. So standing around. Now, what does it mean? This present in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. It also says, you present your members, your hand and feet, everything, as instrument of, if you are presenting to the unrighteousness, then you are serving sin. But if you present yourself as an instrument of righteousness to God, Now, I want you to listen again. You can present your body to sin. You can present your body as instrument for sin, to sin. Or you can present your body to God for righteousness. Now, don't think you have many choices. In here, in the Romans, it tells us there are only two. If you present your body to God, or are you present your body to sin? So if you are not present to God, that means you are presenting your body to sin. Sin is not for God, but for myself. So notice, if you don't make yourself stand by, ready to serve God. Now, what does a living sacrifice mean? Normally, we think of this picture, living sacrifice. We think of an altar. We think of a killed or dead animal put on the altar. But this is very strange. Living sacrifice? Does that animal can run around? Does that animal on the altar can come back, come jump down from the altar? So we have query about this living sacrifice. So sacrifice, I put it in other words, like sacrifice is something to please God. And living, that means it's not dead. It's always ready. It's always available there. Responsive, living. So what it means here is that to me, I have a picture. It's not about an altar. To me, present your body as a living sacrifice. In my own word, I would say, make yourself stand by God to please Him at all times. At all times refers to the living. Today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, every time, I'm always available to serve Him. Present yourself. Stand by. I'm at a standby mode. Always ready to please God. Wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So what I say, this present living sacrifice, is you are making yourself ready always to serve Him. As if a king is here, all the steward, all his servants gathered around him. Whenever the king bring me a cup of water, the steward, all the servants immediately do so because they are always stand by, which is presenting. You are always stand by to please God, not on just on Sunday. You are always stand by to do His will. So present means stand by. Always ready to please Him. Remember when Jesus called disciples? Disciples always follow Him. They are always around Him. Always stand by Him. When the Lord asks them to do something, they are always there. So when Peter, remember Peter? When he has forsaken his fisherman business, he followed Jesus. This is present himself. He is stand by the Lord. He is following the Lord. Can he go back to fish? When the Lord is not here, he will go back to fishing maybe. So, present yourself is like a disciples, making yourself available to Him all the time. And let's go to another verse. And do not be verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Conformed, in other words, is this world is trying to fashion us alike, the same pattern. So this world, Satan is trying to make us follow him. Now God called us, Jesus called us, follow me. But Satan also wants us to follow him. He will use all kind of tricks. He used all kind of games to trick us to follow him. I don't know if you have ever played the game Monopoly. When you play the game, you just go around. All your concern is, how do you win the game? Make more money. Every step you take, your concern is, can I buy this place? If you can buy it, can I make more money? And after you buy oak, and I come back, an opportunity come again, can I build a house? Can I build a hotel? So I can get more money from others. So if you follow this game, your concern is making more money. Money, money, money. So Satan is the same. Today when we come to study, should I go to this uni? What course should I take? After this, which job should I take? Which job make more money? After this, why is money so important? Then money offers you lots of opportunity. We can buy a bigger house, buy a better car, live in a better area. So all our concern is we are following his mindset, following his, this game is about money. So life is about money. Conform to this world. The fashion is. So Satan may use this to trick us to follow him. I don't know if you heard about this legend, this story about Piper. Heard about this? It talks about a story. There are lots of rats destroying a town. So people find someone to try to catch all this rat. So a piper playing a pipe. When he play the pipe, all the rats will follow him. So the town agrees to give him some money. So he play the pipe. All the rats follow him and lead all the rats to drown in the river. But because the town won't pay him the money, he got angry. He paid the pipe again and draw all the little children to follow him. I don't know the rest of the story. I can't remember. But that is exactly what Satan is doing. When he played the pipe, money, money, money. And a few people were, I follow him, yes. But one day Jesus called us, come, follow me. Now you have a choice. You present yourself to follow Pipe Piper, you present yourself to follow Satan, or you present yourself to follow Jesus. This is such a big difference. You present yourself to whom? To sin or to Christ? If you're not following him, then we'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you are not following the Pipe Piper, if you are not following Satan, something is happening. If we follow the Lord, we will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now this word transformed in Greek is metamorphosis. The word comes from metamorphosis. Metamorphosis comes from this word, the Greek word there. It appears four times in the Bible, two times in the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus changed his appearance, transfigured, changed, just like a bug turns into a beautiful butterfly. So two times there, one time here. So what does metamorphosis actually mean? How can we be transformed by the renewing of our mind? How can our life be transformed? But first, from the mind. If we look at and the fourth appearance of that word, which is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 to 18. It talks about transform again. But let us look at the context. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is here, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding us in mirror of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It talks about transformation again. And how can people be transformed? When one turns to the Lord. Before that, there's a veil. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Remember just now I say, when you present yourself to the Lord, that means you become a standby. It's about relationship. It's not about what you do, an activity yourself. It's about your relationship with the Lord. When you are standby with the Lord, when you turn to the Lord. So this transformation does not happen just by yourself. This transformation happens when you come into contact with the Lord. I say again, not because this is me, I put myself on the altar, then that will be transformed. No, not by doing this act, but when you come close to the Lord, present yourself to the Lord, when the Lord shines His glory on you, you will be transformed. You and the Lord must be in contact. Not just, on the altar, that will be transformed. Not just that. It's about a relationship. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And with unveiled face, beholding as in mirror of the glory of God, when you're looking at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Let me put an example. The disciples, they present themselves to follow the Lord, isn't it? But on this world, people think about greatness. Who will become the great? So even among the disciples, they argue about themselves. Who will become great? So they are conformed by this world to become great. But when they come close to the Lord, what would the Lord tell them? Oh no, not among you. Among you, those who are great are those who served. So their mind changed, isn't it? Can you see? Their mind transformed like the Lord. The Lord Himself served. He's great, but He served. This is the glory of our Lord. He is a king, and yet He is a servant. He is a servant king. If we follow the world, no, we don't want to be servant. We want to be king. We are conformed by this world. But when we come close to Jesus, and when Jesus, when we put down our veil, Lord, we want to become great. No, this is not the way. The Lord will tell you, if you want to become great, you should become a servant to serve. Now their mind, isn't it, transformed? Their mind. So today when I talk of transformation, I don't mean when you read the Bible, suddenly your body glows. No, in the mind. In the Word of God. It starts from there. So this dedicated life means you present yourself, have a close relation with the Lord, as if the disciples gather around Jesus day by day, and when the Lord speaks to you through His words, His mind become your mind. And this is where the transformation begins. So we are not looking for an electrifying experience. I feel different today. No, not the experience, but the mind. The mind changing in our life. Can we go back to the verse before? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then we realize, to serve is not... It's precious in God's sight. To become great is to become servant. Then we realize this is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, now brothers and sisters, when you open the Bible, This can be a very precious opportunity. If you read it and the Lord speaks to you in your heart and transform your mind. Only when you present yourself. If you have a Bible, you don't read it, no transformation. Even if you read it, you take it as reading a textbook, no transformation. But when you read it and through the words, you can hear God talking to you. You can hear Jesus speaking to you. These words become life and transform you. Changing your life, changing your desire, changing your goal, changing your direction. We can move on to next verse. In verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. So you start to think sound, soberly. You won't think of yourself, I am great, I want to be great. Whenever I serve, people will appreciate. Whenever I do something, people appreciate me. You think of yourself too great. And that's why sometimes we don't want to serve. We are reluctant. We want to become, we want to become great. Think more highly than you ought to think. So when you present yourself to the Lord, you realize, I'm not that great. You start to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now, after you present yourself, now from verse 3 onwards, it talks about members, it talks about functions, it talks about gifts, it talks about this member, it's talking about one body. It starts to talk about body life. I say again, we talk about, yes, God put us in the church, God put us among brothers and sisters, I want to live a body life. But there are many hindrances. Because if you want to be great, I'm not as good as him. No, I dare not serve. I'm not, oh, he's nothing. He shouldn't be here. We have so confused mind. So we need to have a sound mind. Think soberly. I am just a member of the body. I'm not that significant. I need to serve others. I have my functions. All the members do not have the same functions. You have your function. What is your function in here? So we, being many, are one body in Christ. There are many of us here in Christ. And individually members of one another, having then gifts. Now each member have gifts. The ear can hear, the eye can see, the hands can do things, the feet can walk, can run. Each member have gifts. So in Corinthians, it talk about it gives us a picture. Oh, the ears say, I'm not the eye, so I'm not belongs to the body. Because he think he's so important. When he compared to others, oh, he's more important than me. I have no part in this body. So that gives all the confusion because we cannot think soberly. So if we dedicate ourselves, then it would be make a big difference. So if we present ourselves to the Lord day by day, his words came to us day by day, transforming our mind, then we start to know about ourselves. You do this. You serve, you comfort others. So the Lord will tell you, will guide us how to use our gifts. Sometimes we expect too much. Once I do it, I want perfection. And then we realize we are not that good. We are discouraged. So we need to have a real good relationship with the Lord. And then the Lord will teach us, guide us, how to enter into this body life. So the body life is good, but have you present yourself, stand by your master? He will guide us. He will teach us how to serve. So entering this body life is not by our own. If we live close to this master, he will teach us, guide us, correct us how to serve in his body. He will give us the gifts needed. He will show us how to do, how to make progress if we have a close relationship with him. So we can't do this without him, in other words. We can't live a body life without present ourselves to close to this master, the head. You see the importance? Even though there's something good there, body life is good. But in my mind, I have all my ideas. If I try to, I want to help him, but you are not helping him. I want to serve him, but you are not serving him. You are destroying him. If according to our mind, we have no idea how to live a body life effectively, beneficially to others. But if we are close to this master, and we stand by him, then he will teach us day by day with his presence, with his words. He can transform our mind. What is greatness? Oh, to serve like this, day by day. Then we'll know how to serve him. So this is my message today. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have given us this new life. Not only we are justified, sanctified, and you have in your mind that one day we'll be glorified in you. But today we pray that we will respond to you by dedicate our life to you. Let all of us present ourselves before you to live a life close to you. And by your words, Lord, transform us day by day. Show us how to serve you. Show us how to serve your body. Show us how to love one another. We ask this in the name of our Lord. Amen.